When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the NBA is back. Tune in tonight. Defending champion Nuggets and Lakers. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern. ESPN Radio, ESPN app. We are Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. And joining us in studio, best of the best in terms of NBA analysts, Tim Legler. So, of course, we start off with, how bad are the Commanders, your favorite football team?
Listen, man, why you want to do that right off the bat? You have any idea what my Sunday was like watching that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I mean, I thought I've seen it all, and then they play that way against the Giants. The first half of that game was as inept as a professional team could be in any sport across the board. So I'm obviously devastated. That was our season. That was our one shot we had to make it interesting because we're going to get probably smoked on Sunday against the Eagles. So it is what it is, man. The life it's a day in the life of a fan of the Commanders.
Great to see you.
I was actually at that game, and the Giants didn't score a point in the second half. The last time the Giants won a game where they didn't score a point in the second half was 2006, Tim.
I believe it.
2006.
I believe there's all kinds of records being set this year against the Commanders.
Against the Commanders.
2-0 to start the year. I was feeling pretty good where things are going. I like Sam Howell, and then now here we are.
Your quarterback has been sacked 40 times.
Yeah.
40 times.
You don't have to remind me. I felt every one of those hits.
Well, let me enjoy
it. Our MVP is Tress Way.
Listen,
that's all I got to say. Our punter is the MVP of the team.
Who also set a record in the first half for punt yardage. Let me at least enjoy it. That was the second win of my team's season. So let me enjoy that a little bit as a Giants fan. But, Tim, I want to talk about another one of my teams, the L.A. Lakers. They made a lot of offseason moves. They added a lot of players onto this team. What is the ceiling for the Lakers this year, realistically?
Ceiling is win a championship. They can do it. They're on a short list of teams that legitimately can do it. The prospect for the Lakers going into this season is so completely different than a year ago. And even really at any point during the season last year. Like, they sort of got it together late and made that run and then ran into a buzzsaw. And you know, they realized that they had to address the issues of their depth, which they did in a big way. Bottom line is this. Until you see a precipitous decline in LeBron, which who knows when that will be. I mean, this guy might be 42, 43 years old and still playing at an all-star level. Until you see that, and you know, and Anthony Davis can still be dominant enough, the additions of what they've made to this team in terms of their bench and they're filling out their rotation, this is a team on a very short list of teams, probably five teams right now I would look at and say have a legitimate chance to win it all. Maybe six if you extend it to Golden State.
So this is a team that's capable of beating the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both teams full strength.
Yeah, because Denver's got the best team in the NBA, and their starting five has all that chemistry and the cohesion. That's very important, the continuity. They didn't improve themselves. They actually lost some key pieces.
Bruce Brown, yeah.
Bruce Brown, critical. Jeff Green, even a veteran guy who had big moments for them in the postseason. So now you're asking guys like, you know, Christian Brown, can you take that leap now? He had some good moments in the postseason. He's a very young player, but they love him. Can you take the leap now and be a guy that you can count on every single night? Because we know what the starting five is going to look like and how difficult they are to play against. But the depth is something we're going to have to see. It's the same thing with Phoenix. All that star talent at the top. What do the rest of those pieces look like and how do they fit? And how do those three guys mesh? That's going to take time. Denver is the most sure thing going into the season, but the Lakers, Phoenix, Golden State, all three of those teams are just lurking right there beneath the surface.
Tim, another team that's certainly in the championship conversation is the Milwaukee Bucks. And yesterday we get news that Giannis Antetokounmpo signs a three-year, $186 million extension with Milwaukee. Were you surprised at the timing of this deal?
3 years, $186 million, $62 million a year. And you know what? They must have got a sale because he's worth every dime and then some. So, you know, it's interesting. I think there was so much speculation on some recent comments that he made over the summer. Is he thinking about beyond Milwaukee at some point? I think what this does, it settles everybody in the organization down, right? And it sends a message to Damian Lillard. Like, he believes now they acquired the right guy to now let the Milwaukee Bucks add to that championship that they won. Because Giannis doesn't want to just win a championship. He didn't want to win an MVP. He wants to be one of the greatest to ever do it. He believes now with Damian Lillard and some of those core, you know, nucleus pieces, this is enough to get it done. Now, look, Boston, you know, on paper, Boston is loaded as well. So it's a two-team race. Nobody is on the level of these two teams in the Eastern Conference. You try to make an argument for the Knicks or Cleveland or somebody to get into the mix.
Anybody else?
You just can't. Philly. Philly.
Anybody else?
An interesting team. Miami Heat. Miami Heat, you know, who made the improbable finals run a year ago. But there's two teams in the East on a different tier from everybody else. And I think what Giannis did was send a message to Damian Lillard, to the Milwaukee Bucks organization. Like, I think now this is what I need to go win more championships.
Like, is anybody happier than you are about the new load management rules in the NBA?
No, but here's the thing. Yes, I was obviously, I've been railing about this from the beginning. I don't think it's going to touch the problem. I just don't think.
Really?
I really don't think this is going to have any effect. Because there's a lot of outs in there. And some of the guys that we really want to see that we're talking about are those veteran players with a lot of miles and minutes on their legs, right, that are going to be able to have these out clauses so that they can still participate in load management. So I think, you know, look, some of the younger stars may be affected by it. I still think it's impossible for the league to be able to honestly look at this and say, if a guy goes, you know what, I got a little bit of tightness in my hammy. That doesn't show up on an MRI, but it could keep him from playing on a given night. I don't know how you mandate that. I just don't know how you can really control it. I appreciate their efforts to try to address it. I've been saying it's a massive problem for the league. It hurts the regular season dramatically. It hurts the fans more than anybody else. The sponsors, the media, everybody suffers. And they're trying to address it. Give them credit. Let's see if it actually has any sort of an impact. I'm very skeptical about that.
Legs, we got the tweet from Woj yesterday that said it was increasingly unclear whether or not Harden would be there for the Sixers' debut in the regular season. And my question to you is, how should Daryl Morey in the front office of Philadelphia handle James Harden moving forward?
Unfortunately, they let this go too long. I mean, this should have been handled really at the very beginning because he said he didn't want to return. Once you're in that situation and now you're going to basically force a guy back to training camp. They went through this with Ben Simmons. He came in for two practices. Doc Rivers threw him out of the gym. We know how that turned out. Ultimately, it led to James Harden being there. If a guy you know doesn't want to be there, his market value has diminished to such an extent. What are you left with now? It's completely a buyer's market. And I don't even know, honestly, who's going to want James Harden? Are you going to give up? If you're a contender, are you going to give up key pieces, young pieces, to go get a guy that, number one, has diminished his skill level because he's older and he's had some injuries? Two, you know for a fact is going to have issues in the postseason handling pressure. And three, you have to change the entire way you play offensively to accommodate him. Does that sound like, you know, if I'm selling a house right now, it's got a leaky roof, you're going to have to keep this wallpaper I put up. Are you interested, you know, at a high price? No, you're going to try to get that down. And so I think right now, if I'm the Sixers, I'm saying, look, we have to move on. We're going to get role players that fit better. We're going to get hopefully maybe a pick or two. But the key is give the ball to Tyrese Maxey and let's find out what his ceiling is. It is time to do that. I think James Harden also really heavily influenced Joel Embiid in terms of his negative body language, his demeanor, a sense of hopelessness at times in the postseason. When he saw the way Harden was playing, it affected Embiid. I'm not trying to make an excuse for him because he's got to be bigger than that, better than that. He's an MVP, got to be a leader. But you could see it on the court. He got demoralized because he knew the guy he needed was not there. He was in one of those dark places. Maxey doesn't play that way. He's got a bounce. He's got an energy. He's got speed. Embiid really trusts him. Give him the ball. Let's find out what his ceiling is and go get some pieces for Harden that are not all-star caliber players in return because you're not going to get that at this stage of his career with everything that he's going to bring into your organization. So the sooner they move on, the better. It's not easy, but they should have done this 3 months ago.
Legs, and just as a quick follow-up, the Embiid of it all is what's looming over this organization because that's a player that a lot of people around the NBA are watching. If things go south in Philly, if James Harden is going to be a divisive force, especially with the Sixers breaking in a new head coach in Nick Nurse, does it make sense for this franchise to ask Harden to stay away from the team?
Oh, man.
Does it make sense to ask him to stay away from the team and look at James Harden's salary as an opportunity to clear cap for future years?
And it's a rare case when I would ever say I think that might be the best thing for the organization. And on a night-to-night basis to go out there and compete and move on, I think in this case it might be. Because James, here's the thing about James Harden. If he is not 100% fully bought in, right, it's already some challenges with him, right, that you have to deal with. If he's not bought in and he's out there and he's got the basketball and he's dictating possession by possession, you are literally putting anchors around the ankles of your organization.
Yes.
So this might be that one example. You know, if you remember, it also happened in Philly years ago when Allen Iverson first demanded a trade.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right? Billy King was the general manager. Billy mm-hmm. King said, stay home.
Yeah. Billy King, fan of the show, by the way, too.
Yeah, Billy's a good man. Yeah.
But the only thing that's a negative is that it costs you money. Because if he voluntarily stays away, you can fine him. If you ask him to stay away, you're losing $390,000 per game. I understand we're talking about billionaires, but there is that part of it. And by the way, to your criteria of the team that would have to trade for him, it's why the Clippers make sense. Because basically what we're saying is, who needs a regular season player that is not going to be good in the postseason? You basically have to have guys that don't play a lot in the regular season that could be good in the postseason. Hence why the Clippers make sense.
If there's one team in the league,
it makes sense,
that's the only team. That's the only team. But you know, what are they willing to give up to get him? One. And two, look, you still have to answer the question, are Kawhi Leonard and Paul George going to be standing at the end of the season? So you might
need... And you didn't give them extensions either.
You might need James Harden if you're the Clippers in the postseason. And based on his track record, and it's funny because he has defenders. He has defenders out there, right, that jump in the James Harden camp. Well, what about game one and game four? No question.
He was missing the other five games.
Yeah. No question. Game one, no Embiid, no pressure, goes up there, gets it done at Boston. Game four, I thought maybe the signature game of his career, the way he played in that game, and to get that to 2-2. Okay, the other five games, he shot like 28% from the field, averaged 11 points a game. Nowhere to be seen. And you know, you can go back year after year after year, and I can find these moments. You and I have talked about it so many times. Find these moments. This isn't like an anomaly, what happened last
27
year.
27 straight threes they missed in a game seven.
It's you know, go back all the way to, you know, the game against San Antonio. I always reference when he was in Houston, MVP of the league. And, you know, in a game which San Antonio Josh sits Smith. Guys because they're waiting for the next game to give them a rest. And he comes out, plays against reserves, basically, and doesn't take a shot in the first quarter of a game. So, look, we know his track record is history. This is a very difficult situation for the Sixers. There's no doubt they need to move on, and I don't know why they've let it get to this point to be fully aware that it's time. It was time the day he said he needed to go and he didn't want to return, and he made those comments about Daryl Morey. It's an unhealthy situation. You can't put your franchise through this.
Last thing. Who's more likely, with Tim Legler here, of course, he's going to be on Get Up, ESPN analyst, phenomenal, of course. Who's more likely to be themselves this year, whichever version of themselves it actually is, Zion or Ben Simmons?
Zion. I'll go with Zion. You know, look, how many summers I've seen Ben Simmons with these incredible workout videos.
He's undefeated in the summer.
Zion looks great.
Grinding it out, shooting step back threes, right? We see it every single summer. Look, I hope Ben Simmons makes it back. I actually really liked watching Ben Simmons play when he was at that level, when he was an impactful player and had some sort of confidence and aggressiveness offensively. Love to see it. I'm going to go with Zion. I know that's a bet. The guy's played, what, 120 games or something in his career. He is so unique and so different and so impactful. If Zion Williamson is able to play a full season and stay healthy for a postseason run, I'm not saying the Pelicans are necessarily a title contender, but, man, are they going to make things really interesting in the Western Conference. Wow. You got to remember, they were tied for first place after 35 games. It's not a small sample size when he went down, and then Ingram went down, right? And you saw what happened to their season. And even C.J. McCollum was hurt the second half of the year. If you have an elite-level point guard, which I think C.J. McCollum is, as a scorer, facilitator, Brandon Ingram, a big wing that's an elite level scorer. And then you've got this unique force that nobody else has, something quite like that, that finishes at 60, 65% in the paint, no matchup for. If you've got that, in addition to their nice set of role players there, this is a team that can get into the top four potentially in the Western Conference. That's how interesting they are. So I'm going to bank more on Zion because it's totally health related. Ben Simmons, there's a lot of issues beyond his health that we've got to get addressed. So that's why I think for Zion, it's just health. We've seen what he can do when he's physically right. He's a dominant force. So let's hope they both end up, you know, participating most of the season.
One word answer as we say goodbye to Legs. Smalls does not have an NBA team, grew up in the St. Louis area. Give her one team that you think she should root for this year.
Warriors.
Okay, Warriors. That's it.
It's just a fun watch every night.
Okay. But you don't think that's me jumping on an already established bandwagon?
Join the rest of the country. People all over the country do it all the time.
Okay. I could never relate to something like that. Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst. You'll see him on Get Up. Thank you as always, Legs. We appreciate it. Coming up, Purdy Brockin all night long? Not really. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
See, what had happened was...
More like they got rocked last night. Usually they're the ones that's rocking. They got rocked last night by the Minnesota Vikings.
Did they ever. Yeah. Did they ever. Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. What a huge day all around. ESPN Radio, we have Game 7 of the Diamondbacks and the Phillies. We have the NBA tonight. And, of course, the frozen frenzy in the NHL is upon us. All 32 teams are in action. We have a triple header, simulcast on ESPN+. So all 32 teams, meaning 16 games, you get John Buchagross, you get Kevin Weeks showcasing the best plays, hits, goals, and moments of the night, 7 to 8 on ESPN+, and then 8 p.m. to 1:30 a.m., ESPN2, ESPN+, 6.5 hours, unprecedented, nonstopped NHL coverage. It is basically the red zone for the NHL. You'll get that tonight. Of course, the ESPN family of networks. Awesome there. John Buchagross, Kevin Weeks will be a part of it, hosting it this evening. Yeah, we play our Brock song. Niners lose last night to the Minnesota Vikings. And not exactly what we anticipated.
No.
The Niners felt for a little bit here invincible. Like that nobody was going to beat them. Yeah. That there was undefeated talk, as there always is around the good teams every year, and nobody actually goes undefeated. And now they've lost two games in a row. Injuries matter. Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel, CMC was banged up. Dre Greenlaw got banged up during the course of the game.
So did Fred Warner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you have the two best linebackers, the running back, wide receiver, left tackle. Like, everybody banged up. All of that said, Brock Purdy, our guy, did have a chance with 1:11 to go on his own 40-yard line down 5 after a missed field goal by the Vikings to potentially win the game.
And yeah, but he threw two picks on back-to-back possessions in the fourth quarter. Not that great.
Didn't work out well for
us. And to me, this is not about the 49ers not being a title contender this year. I think they've proven that. We've got enough proof of concept through a 7-game sample size. Now, they stubbed their toe the last couple of games. A lot of that due to injury, and that's what gives me concern about the macro with the 49ers. Not necessarily the short term, not what they're going to be in 2023, but what they're going to be beyond 2023, right? When you think about the attrition that this team is dealing with, Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel out of the lineup last night, they felt those absences. Maybe those picks don't happen if those two guys are in the lineup. With Deebo Samuel, maybe that interception to Juwan, that when he was targeting Juwan Jennings doesn't happen because that's an in-breaking route that's based on timing, that's based on anticipation. You saw that Brock Purdy let that football go before the receiver got to the top of his stem. But because Juwan Jennings got rerouted by the defensive backs, because it took a little bit of time, it threw everything off. And so in looking at how the possessions at the end of the fourth quarter played out for the 49ers, it became clear to me that Brock Purdy needs to have that top-tier talent around him in order to operate the offense as efficiently as we've seen him do through the first 5 games of the regular season. That's why I have cause to pause about what the 49ers are going to be long-term. Because as players get older, they don't get healthier. Deebo Samuel, last four seasons, only 1 year was he fully healthy. Trent Williams, 35 years old. George Kittle, wrong side of 30. Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey, I mean, he's already surpassed the shelf life that we project for most NFL running backs. So my question to you guys is, how much longer do the 49ers have
with this current core of players. How much longer is the window? To me, after watching last night's game and seeing what happened in Cleveland, the window for Kyle Shanahan with this group is this year. Because this team is going to have to look different in order to continue to contend for championships beyond 2023.
Do you think their sense of urgency is the highest among any team in the NFL? I mean, we always talk about the Cowboys there. The Bills window, we say, might be closing or it might even be halfway closed at this point. You think the Bills are in a more sense of urgency situation than the 49ers?
Yeah, because so if you go through the evolution of the conversation that we have to answer your question about the window – September 22nd was the first day on our show, Unsportsmanlike, ESPN Radio, ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance, that we decided, or not decided, we discussed, excuse me, this Niners window. And that day, we discussed the idea of 2 years. Since then, CC has taken it down to 1 year.
But
right?
Let's talk about why we discussed 2 years. We discussed it for a very different reason than what I'm talking about over the last 2 weeks. We discussed it because that was the time that they had Brock Purdy on a rookie contract.
Right,
value of having a quarterback on a rookie contract. You're saying what, 0.4% of the salary cap is what Brock Purdy's taking up this year?
Uh-huh.
So making sure you can capitalize on that window, you can add top-of-the-market talent, top-of-the-market prices, so on and so forth. What I'm saying is I don't know that you have that much runway because the top-of-the-market players are not going to give you the top-of-the-market production based on availability. When they're out there, they're great. The only problem is those guys aren't all out there all together at the same time because of injuries. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen this 49ers team healthy for a couple of years now. Now, they made it to the conference championship game last year, but what derailed that? An injury to the quarterback spot.
Right.
So, again, that's something that we're going to have to increasingly start worrying about as this team's star players continue to get older.
Well, and that's where I was going. So if you now close that to 1 year, and we're closing it because of the injuries, what's the way of reopening it? The only way of reopening it is getting reinforcements, obviously. The reinforcements come by way of that more salary cap room than anybody else in the league currently. The deadline on the 31st, right, on the Tuesday the 31st. And so they have a week, week and a half to sit there and realize – our window may only be 1 year because of health and in age. So what can we do to replenish it? And we have about a week and a half. So I would ask, can we reserve judgment, theoretically, for a week and a half? Could that window be reopened to 2 years if, potentially, they make additions?
No.
It's still 1 year. No,
because the guys that we're talking about, you're locked in on. I mean, think about this. Christian McCaffrey, highest paid running back. George Kittle, third highest paid tight end. Fred Warner, third highest paid inside linebacker. Trent Williams, third highest paid offensive lineman. Deebo Samuel, seventh highest paid wide receiver. You're not moving off of those contracts.
No, and I wouldn't want to, obviously.
No, but my point is this. If those guys aren't healthy and available to contribute to your team, especially on the offensive side of the ball around Brock Purdy, then this team, this organization, is not going to realize their championship expectations.
Totally agree.
And that's my point. They need to have more urgency about how they go out and do their business. That's why before the deadline in a week, they need to go out there and make a move like they did last year with Christian McCaffrey and how consequential that was. They traded for McCaffrey. I think they only lost one regular season game after that for the rest of the season. So, I mean, they have to make that kind of move to keep up with the Joneses, and in this case, the Philadelphia Eagles, and what they did with trading for Kevin Byard yesterday.
Because we don't think that Brock Purdy can outplay those absences.
No, I don't. I don't think he's evolved to that point in his career as a quarterback. And here's the thing. We couldn't have known it because we haven't seen it.
Correct.
He had been perfect, and he had everybody his full complement of weapons.
Right.
And we said the jury was out on him being an MVP because we want to see him go through that adversity. What did he look like when everything is less than ideal? Well, we got the answer back over the last couple of weeks, and the answer is not great. Now, it doesn't mean that he's not a very good quarterback, because I believe he is, and I think he has a lot of room to grow. But he's not there yet, which is why I think it's important for them to capitalize on this window now, because who's to say that the stars are going to align to the point where Brock Purdy is developed enough to be a force multiplier and you're still going to have these core players in the hearts of their prime. I don't think those are on the same timeline, which is why Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch got to get it done this season.
And the timeline to that point changes in a year, 2 years, whatever it may be, where what we saw last night and what we saw the week before has to be on Brock Purdy, because some of these guys won't be there. or some of these guys won't be as healthy, or some of these guys will be older, et cetera. So, you know, we've compared it so many times to the early stages of Brady. It's starting to feel maybe like the early stages of Russell Wilson, where they had that Super Bowl window, Legion of Boom, running game, and then ultimately it became Russell Wilson's team. They were still very good. They did not win a Super Bowl when it was exclusively his team. We're a year or 2 years away from it being fully Brock Purdy's team, and then a game like last night cannot happen that way. Yeah. He has to win that game.
Well, let me be clear about one thing, because I'm seeing the trolls on Twitter, and I am not saying that the 49ers can't win a Super Bowl this year. I think they can. What I'm actually saying is that they have to win a Super Bowl this year.
Because it's
not going to happen with this core of players beyond 2023.
Right.
That's why they have to operate with a certain level of urgency.
I think you were definitely clear on that. The only sports disagreement we have is I still think they could be good next year. You're saying, no, they need adjustments, whatever it may be. Which, who knows? Who the hell knows? It's a year from now. But they're really good right now. But to answer Smalls' question quickly, I think the Bills have more pressure. The Niners, with Kyle Shanahan, have been to the Super Bowl. They were in a championship game last year. I think the Bills are the team that has way more pressure than the Niners. Coming up, would you rather get blown out in a Game 7 or lose in heartbreak fashion? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Simeon goes to first, and the Texas Rangers, 90 wins in the regular season, fly cross country, and their journey will bring them to the World Series for the first time since 2011.
Just incredible. This is an unbelievable feeling, what you played for. I was sitting at home for 3 years, not doing anything but coaching a little bit of T-ball. Here I am in the World Series. What an honor.
Carl Ravage with the call, ESPN Radio, heard right here. And then after that, Bruce Bochy taking the Rangers to the World Series. The third team he has taken to the World Series. Padres, Giants won three of them. And now the Texas Rangers, their blowout win last night over the Houston Astros. And Arizona advances to a Game 7 with their win over Philly last night. We'll have that Game 7 for you tonight on ESPN Radio. But this has sparked a big debate here on the show today as to whether or not you'd rather lose a close game in an elimination game, which Bruce Bochy would know nothing about as he's 6-0 in elimination games, winner-take-all games, excuse me, or get blown out in that game. At Unsports ESPN, Dr. Pepper inbox, and you could be a part of Unsportsmanlike Nation, the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve. And we want to hear from you guys at 888-SAY-ESPN. Blowout or close loss in an elimination game, it is rare that all three of us on a sports debate, meaning the debates that don't matter in real life, that are just in the sandbox, in the playground of fun that we live in, all three of us universally agree that it is clear you'd rather be blown out in a game seven.
Yeah, it's not even close. Yeah. Like, as a former player, I can remember the losses that were more closely contested. Those were the ones that hurt the most. Like, those are the ones that keep me up at night, Smalls, to this day. And I ain't played in the NFL since 2015. And those are the games I think about. 2007, the Dallas Cowboys, we were 13-3, lose to the New York Giants, a team that we smoked in the regular season. Giants going to win the Super Bowl. 2006, Tony Romo botches a field goal snap from our long snapper, and we end up losing to the Seattle Seahawks. And in the situation with the Baltimore Ravens in 2014, divisional round in Foxborough, we had two, not one, but two 14-point leads. And we end up blowing both of them because Bill Belichick exploits a loophole in the NFL rulebook. Those are the games that keep me up at night. Like, if you're looking at it from an NFL fan's perspective, which one do you think stings more? The Denver Broncos getting smoked in 2013 by the Seattle Seahawks, or the Atlanta Falcons collapsing in the second half and in overtime in 2016 to the New England Patriots?
Not close.
To me, it's not even close. It's the close losses that hurt the most. And so that's the one thing, like, if you're going to lose, if you're going to go out in a game seven, I'd rather it happen the way that it happened for the Astros against the Texas Rangers yesterday.
Yeah, not all heartbreak is created equal, right? Like, I'm a Cardinals fan, so I always think about the losses that the Cardinals have had in the postseason. When I go back to 2004, the World Series, the Boston Red Sox, team of destiny, they swept the Cardinals. It wasn't even close. I can tip my cap to them and say, you know what? You were due.
No doubt.
Had it coming. Absolutely. I go back to the 2014 NLCS, Game 5, when Mike Matheny chose to put Michael Wacha in the game after he hadn't pitched in what felt like an eternity. And Travis Ishikawa goes yard. I could still hear Joe Buck saying his name, Travis Ishikawa, in my ears, because you go over and over and over that one moment. If he didn't decide to have that pitching matchup and that wasn't the outcome of that decision, would things have been different?
Yeah.
And I am not a sports masochist in that way. You know, I would rather just know that we weren't good enough.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get to phones here, but do you want to give Pat, our producer, an opportunity to go crazy on this? Because he's very angry about this.
Oh, sure.
Go ahead, Pat.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you want to be blown out? Why would you never want the chance to win? Like, by saying we'd rather be blown out, you're saying we don't want any chance of ever winning the game.
That's not the same.
You got a chance to win when you show up to the ballpark. Yeah, you have a chance to win.
If you're going
to
blow out, you'd never had a chance.
The outcome is the same.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to lose.
You're
going to
lose. So if I'm going to lose.
You don't know it in the first quarter.
But it's about regret. Part of it is about regret. If you lose, let's use the two 14-point leads, right? The regret is, how do we not put that away versus the Peyton Manning Broncos Seahawks Super Bowl?
We never had a chance.
There's no regret. Like, wow, they were just really good. And
better game plan.
We were too, but they were much better than we were. 888-SAY-ESPN, telephone number to join the show. Phil in North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 80. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on,
Phil? Rather be blown out, definitely. Close loss, I'm sitting there picking the game apart, looking at it, can't get over it. I'd rather just be blown out and knew, hey, I didn't deserve to go anywhere else.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would assume CCN blowout losses, that sometimes you just move past them, you don't even acknowledge them, and you just go to the next game, versus a close loss is painful probably. You have to watch over and over again. Javier, listening on the ESPN app in Scottsdale. What's up, Javier?
Hey, man, I'm gonna date myself. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I go back as far as, you know, Jackie Smith dropping that touchdown pass, you know, against the Steelers back in the day, and then Dwight Clark doing that last-minute catch on my Cowboys, and then even the Tony Romo, you know. But that's what made it that much sweeter when the Cowboys did it in reverse, when they blew out the Bills in both Super Bowls and stuff too, you know. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, and again, I think that there is an interesting part of this, that the uber sports fan somehow at times likes the pain, which is just crazy. Devin in South Carolina, listening on 98 FM in South Carolina.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know. I think I prefer the close losses. I'm a Duke fan and a Laker fan, and I still remember Vegas smoking them by 30. In 1990, and I remember Boston beating Kobe and the Lakers by what seems like 40 in 2008. And, those games are always going to be talked about.
Yeah, and it's funny. I'll go to UCC on the Lakers part of it. I was just thinking about that 2010 finals, right? Lakers and Celtics, game seven. Kendrick Perkins hurt in that game. Mm-hmm. Kobe has the worst shooting game of his career. I love that Kobe game because he grabbed a million rebounds and just did whatever it took to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to kill the Celtics.
Yeah.
That has to be so
painful. Well, that's the thing. When you have those close losses, you'd rather be blown out. But when you have those close losses, they live forever in sports infamy.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Think about the 86 Mets, right? Game six of the World Series. I mean, Bill Buckley. Yeah, exactly. Bill Buckner has the situation where he has got the slow roller from Mookie Wilson, and he has the fielding error, and that ends up scoring. Like, those are the types of plays that live in sports infamy. And that's the thing. As a sports fan, I don't want my team to be on the wrong side of history. I'd rather my team be a footnote in the greatness of somebody else, but not to be in a situation where my team is looked at as blowing the game or having a gaffe that cost you the game that's uncharacteristic. To me, I'd rather have the long goodbye. I'd rather be able to process my emotions while the game is still on rather than to have to sit into that all night because my team lost the championship. I don't want to feel like that, Smalls. I'm not here for that pain.
I'm not here for that pain either, and I'm kind of surprised that so many people are. Maybe it's because they just want at some point in the game to feel hope, but I would rather just have it dashed early on so that I can go to bed sad rather than be miserable for the next month.
Yeah, and I'm on the record. I'm sure I'll get it wrong knowing my predictions, but I'm on the record saying that the Phillies could do that to the Diamondbacks tonight. The Phillies, I know they lost, obviously, last night, but they score early and often in games that they win. Peter in Ohio listening on 1460 AM. What's up, Peter?
Hey, man. I just wanted to say I am a fan of the game, and as a Buckeye fan, watching that national championship semifinal last year where they missed the field goal just barely, did it keep me up for a month? Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What an exciting game.
Exactly.
And maybe I just have an appetite for disaster, but I love it because I talk about it all the time. It's like a misery in Columbus, Ohio, I like to share.
Appetite for disaster.
He took a turn. We were traveling down the same road, and then he made a left.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know why you would want that, especially how C.J. Stroud engineered that last drive to set up the field goal, and then the kicker misses it.
Totally.
See, Smalls, that's another part of this. That's why I don't consider kickers football.
Uh-oh, here we go.
That's why that is the perfect example of why I don't consider kickers football players. They're barely even people because everybody on the team fights to get the kicker that opportunity, and the guy screws it up. Just like Jake Moody screwed it up last week in Cleveland for the 49ers.
For our boy Brock Purdy.
Exactly.
That's exactly where I was going to go. So do we look at this as a one-game losing streak for Brock Purdy?
Because
last night was on him.
He put his team in a position to win versus the Browns.
Yeah.
So we're giving him a one-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Okay, I like
that. But it wasn't great. I mean, we're going to give all of these other quarterbacks smoke for having fourth-quarter turnovers.
That's right.
We got to give it to Brock Purdy,
too. We got to do it to our
That's unacceptable.
And there were more throws that could have been picked that he actually made during the course of the night last
night. Yeah, it was bad.
He was bad. Respectfully, though. We'll get to that next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So, Smalls, there's a chance that maybe the head coach of the Denver Broncos, Sean Payton,
yes,
is stealing your bit.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry? Oh, yeah,
Pardon?
I said it. Oh, yeah. There's a chance.
Wait, I thought that CeCe was the only one who does take theft around here.
Oh, no. People plagiarize takes all the time. Yeah, that happens all the time. Like, it's one thing if it's a take from a co-host and it's a topic that you all have discussed.
Yes.
But when somebody steals your take and they don't have the conversation with you beforehand,
yeah, you sound
they
reported.
Don't apologize after the fact, like, that's getting dicey. That's when you become hack radio or hack sports talk.
Okay.
I'm just putting it out there. Just putting it out there.
Why did you point there's to levels, me on that? What did I do?
No, I wasn't pointing to you. I was just
like, I'm definitely not a
take. No, it wasn't in your direction. It was more toward the cameras. Those people, they know who they are.
Wow. So you're saying there's people that are not self-reporting?
Those people, yeah. There are people that are not self-reporting, pawning it off as, what do they call it, original intellectual property or intellectual take. No. We know where those things came from.
Okay.
Just putting it out there.
Interesting.
Just putting that out there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We know who you are.
Anyway, well, maybe Sean Payton should have said on Sunday, respectfully to one Michelle Smallman. Take a listen.
This team, Coach, had a weird stat where they had blown 10 halftime leads. Only three of those. Who? Your team, the Broncos, had 10 straight halftime leads blown.
Well, my team
three
hasn't
this
blown
year.
10 straight.
Right, your three this year, but how much does
well, you
it
said
mean?
Your team.
I don't pay attention to that. How much
to that.
Does it mean?
I don't pay attention to it.
To see you get over the hump in the second half.
It wasn't our hump. It wasn't our hump. I'm saying that respectfully. It wasn't our hump.
Respectfully. He's using the respectfully. Basically, hey, I wasn't a part of that team last year. Don't put this on me they were terrible. Respectfully, of course. So that is Smalls' bit. He's stealing it from you. So do we have to go respectfully at Sean Payton now?
No, don't do that.
No,
don't
I'm not.
Do that. Just asking
I'm
the
not
question.
Because we took a little bit of... How do we come up with this? Stephen A. Smith, I think, said respectfully,
Michelle's very conscious of not.
No,
stealing
I'm just
someone
I'm just saying we don't
CC
own the word respectfully,
but
so
we're going to use it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can own the word respectfully.
So I'm
like
Sean
that's
go
that's
on
a
that
part
one.
Of the cult the excuse me the corporate vernacular.
Correct.
When you're trying to give somebody the middle finger verbally, that is what you're saying.
Respectfully.
When somebody says when they end the sentence respectfully, what they're telling you is they don't respect you. And furthermore, you can go you can go and you know what. Yeah.
Also, but I don't blame Sean Payton for that because I would want to distance myself from last year's Denver Broncos as well. And hasn't he made that abundantly clear that it's a new era as far as he's concerned in Denver? Not great so far, but
I think he wants to distance himself from this year's Broncos. That's part of the problem.
He wants to distance himself from his quarterback.
Yeah, but he's like, don't lump me in with everything that happened last year.
Respectfully.
All right, respectfully, who are we going at today, Smalls?
Okay, so this one is a little bit of a shocker. Because they are winning, and he's playing well. I want to talk about Jalen Hurts and the 6-1 Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm.
Jalen, you're playing good, but respectfully, I need you to button it up when it comes to the turnovers. He's had 8 interceptions so far this season. He only had 6 last year. And I know that they've been finding ways to win, and that's what good teams do. But respectfully, Jalen, I want you guys to make it to the Super Bowl, so I need you to clean it up when it comes to the turnovers.
I like that one. I like that one, Smalls. Respectfully, Jalen, stop giving the ball to the other team.
Yeah, respectfully.
I guess there's a common theme here, Smalls, because I'm going to go with a team that has a bird as a mascot and their quarterback with all of the turnovers. Lamar Jackson, respectfully. Stop turning the ball over. You played awesome on Sunday. 393 total yards. You had 4 touchdowns, but you still had a pesky turnover in the second half. It wasn't consequential because the game was already decided. But going into week 7, you had 9 total touchdowns to 9 total turnovers. Respectfully, this is the best defense that you've ever played with. This is the best skill position core that you've ever played with. You have a championship-winning head coach. The Baltimore Ravens should be considered the primary challenger to the Kansas City Chiefs, and you should have the record to back that up. The only reason you don't is because of the turnovers. Lamar, stop turning the ball over, respectfully. If you do, your team will be in the conference championship game, and you're probably going to win MVP. The Baltimore Ravens are absolutely legit. They've done a good job of putting a team around you, and you got your bag. respectfully, give them the return on investment they're looking for. Stop turning the football over.
All right. I was going to go an NBA one and go after Daryl Morey a little bit, respectfully, of course. But I'm going to put that in the back pocket because I think there's going to be room to do that at some point.
You're going
to
have runway for that.
I think I'm going to have some runway. So let me go with something that's more topical. Respectfully, National Football League, just tell us what we all know. The NFL is now looking into the Atlanta Falcons and their handling of the injury around Bijan Robinson or the illness around Bijan Robinson because it wasn't reported. Respectfully, NFL, we know what this is about. You're not concerned about his health. You're concerned about gambling and fantasy. That's what it is because all the information was not conveyed to the fans, to the gamblers. You can say it now. Everybody's in bed with it. We're posting odds every single morning. ESPN Bet on its way. We're excited about this. The NFL is in bed with the gamblers gambling as well. It's okay. Just come. I would be so thrilled if the NFL just came out and said, hey, as a result of us not having all of the proper information around Falcons running back Bijan Robinson, we did not give all of the people setting lines, gambling on games, all of the information that we have promised to give them. As a result, we now have to look into this because something like this can't happen again. Just tell us what we already know. That's all this is about. That's all the injury report has ever been about. Because if it's not about that, then it's target practice. I need to tell Trent Williams going up against Chris Canty that Chris Canty has a shoulder injury so I can give him a target? Why would I ever want to do that? Why would I want to hurt you more than you're already hurt? We all know it's about the gambling. Just tell us that now. It's not like a bad language anymore. We all embrace it. You can do it legally. You can do it honestly. You can do it morally. I'm not even a gambler. Why do you think they're looking into this with Bijan Robinson? Respectfully, of course. It's not, I hope he's okay. It's DraftKings, FanDuel, everybody involved in this right now, they didn't have all of the information that they need. Respectfully, of course.
Respectfully, I don't think that would have mattered as much if Desmond Ridder didn't have the three red zone fumbles.
Doesn't matter because people are going into that game without all of the information.
Fair.
And that's what it's all about. But trust me, I could have done a respectfully on Daryl Morey that you guys would have jumped in on.
You were going to say respectfully, let's get off Bill Belichick's back after he won Win 300.
No, I'm going to buy into what Damian Woody said on our show, unfortunately, which is that the Patriots are not that relevant right now. Damian Woody said it with us, former NFL player, ESPN NFL analyst. I'm not going to try to insert them more than I already do because they are not as relevant of a team as they once were. They're just not. They're not as relevant as a team that made a big trade yesterday, the Philadelphia Eagles. What does that mean for them, and could there be more trades coming? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.